Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Hour 2 of the Daily Tip starts right now on the BetMGM Network. And guess what? It's a Thursday, which means we have Thursday Night Football to break down. In this segment, we'll get to our favorite plays between the Dolphins and the Bills at 7:20. It's on to our daily baseball plays that have been pretty good, I might add, over the last few months. And then at 7:40, it's on to our Survivor picks for this week. And the NFL. So, Jenks, while everybody was arguing about Jimmy Kimmel, I was looking up props in Dolphins and Bills. Like, do you ever feel like you just want to, like, dissociate? And you're like, listen, this is a lot. Like, I just want to look at memes for a while. Because, listen, everything feels so heavy these days. And it's not just, like, when you want it. Because I understand, sometimes your brain craves, like, more than just, like, hey, it's a squirrel on roller skates. Sometimes you want more than that. But, like, at other times when it's, like, thrown in your face, you're like, listen, I was not prepared for this. I am simply opening X or Twitter when I'm at the grocery store. I want to keep up on the latest, like, injury updates. So sometimes, like, sometimes I just don't feel like seeing it thrown in my face. Like, I want it to be there when I want it. But it's just everything feels so heavy these days.
Yes, it does. I mean, I think you have to strike that balance between it's important to stay informed. It's important to stay right. educated. It's important to not just believe everything that you see and hear, because especially in today's day and age, not everything that you see and hear is true. And I think it's important to stand up and advocate for what is right. I also think at the same time that can be overwhelming. And so I get overwhelmed with stuff as someone who, you know, takes pride in making sure that I do the proper research and say, okay, I'm not just going to throw out a hot take. I want to understand what I'm talking about, the gravity of the situation, what's going on. But after a while, that becomes really heavy and exhausting. And I'm like, all right, I need a break. I'm going to look at some funny memes, or I'm going to watch a comedian on Netflix for a while and just sort of take a break from that. So I certainly understand the need to have the balance between what is, you know, very, very serious, particularly in the realm of politics now, and also trying to stay sane and not get overwhelmed with emotion, which you can definitely do if you lean into that too much.
Well, and also, I'm just busy, too. Like, I know, like, I'm like, oh, I want to look at memes, but, like, it's for the show. Like, I'm doing research. These pictures of Kyler Murray are for the show. So that's another thing. It's just, like, sometimes you get overwhelmed because, like, you just simply have to do your research. And, like, that's what I was doing. I was like, all right, I got to put the blinders on because we have Thursday Night Football and I have, like, a million plays that I want to get out and a million stats. So stay listen if you want to hear some of that research I did last night. All right, so before we get to that, I saw this quote flying around on social media yesterday, and people were mad at Tua Tagovailoa. They said this quote that he had about Josh Allen was way too honest. But, Jenks, when I listened to it, he's not wrong. Like, maybe you want, like, more of the competitor mindset, and you're like, hey, can you act like you at least have a chance in this game? But listen for yourself. Is it coming?
Dude, he's top tier.
There we go.
You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So, definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that. And then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, you know, he's supreme when it comes to that. So it's going to be fun. Get to see him, get to play him again, and we'll see.
if you're a Dolphins fan and you hear your quarterback, who you paid, let's check, $212 million, this was a quarterback that you, quote, tanked for, and you hear him say, I can't do half the things that he does. And, like, I saw the first comment under this was, well, then you should get paid half of what Josh Allen does. And listen, I don't disagree with that statement, but, like, that's not Tua's fault. Like, the fault is the Dolphins' ownership. Like, Tua is doing his best, and, like, I'm not going to fault him for being honest because Josh Allen is a generational talent. How do you feel about Tua saying this about Josh Allen?
It didn't bother me. He's right. I mean, he's right. And also, Tua is not alone. The vast majority of quarterbacks in the National Football League cannot do what Josh Allen does. He has a very unique skill set. That's why he is the current MVP. So I know some people might take it as, oh, you're giving him too much credit. I'm like, no, you're not. I think, honestly, maybe he's leaning too much into not giving the Bills and not giving Josh Allen any bulletin board material because God knows the Fins need a win in the worst way. And this is a massive line tonight. 12.5 the Bills are favored by. Lordy. But he's not wrong. Like, people may not like it and may say, why are you saying this? Well, it's the truth. Is anybody going to say that Tua Tagovailoa has the same skill set as Josh Allen? No. And not many players do. He is one of one.
Right. I think the problem people have is that, like, it feels like almost like a defeatist mindset. But, like, again, like, if he went the other direction and was like, we're not afraid of the Bills, people would be like, oh, you're giving the Bills bulletin board material. So it just feels like a can't win situation. And here's the bottom line. It's very easy for people to hate on you when you're not good at your job,
right?
Like, it feels like no matter what Tua says, there are going to be haters around because he's such an easy target. So, like, if Josh Allen did this for another quarterback, nobody would say anything. Like, if he went on a rant and, like, praised how good Lamar Jackson was, people are like, oh, Josh Allen's such a stand-up guy. It's just because it's Tua, and people are frustrated with the output that he's given the Dolphins after giving him that big deal and also being the number one overall pick.
Well, and also, too, you know, this is where people get lost, where it's either one way or the other. Like, I hate it when people can't think in the middle or can't think critically. Like, just because he's praising Josh Allen doesn't mean he thinks he sucks. You know, it's not one or the other. You can praise someone else and say, well, this is one of the best to do it, and also believe in yourself and also believe in your own skill set. You know, so I didn't see Tua knocking himself so much as him saying, look, these are things I can't do. But he does other things well. I mean, so I it didn't bother me as much as maybe it bothers other people. But I think when they hear this, like, oh, you don't believe in yourself? What does that mean? You're terrible because you can't do these things? Like, no, this guy's really, really good. And again, everything he said, facts.
Yeah, he can't win in this situation.
He can't.
But the facts are, when it comes to this matchup between the Bills and the Dolphins, is that all of the facts and figures go with the Bills. And that is the premier game tonight on Thursday Night Football. If you're going to be betting on it, here's the line. The Dolphins are 12.5-point dogs in this one. And if you're doing a same-game parlay, always take advantage of the promos, especially at BetMGM. BetMGM account holders receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token today. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and same-game parlays. All right, Jenks, so here are some of the numbers that are not too kind to the Dolphins. So the Bills have won 13 of the last 14 matchups against the Dolphins. Josh Allen has had premier games against Miami, 37 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions. Meanwhile, Tua is putting up forgettable stats against the Bills. 9 touchdowns in his career against Buffalo, along with 10 interceptions. So should we even talk about, like, the straight-up winner of this game? It does feel like this should be an easy win for the Bills. Is there any way that the Dolphins keep this close?
I don't think so. I don't see it. I mean, the fact that the number has gone from 11.5 to 12.5 is just sort of stupid. I don't really have any interest in laying 12.5. It's kind of a dead number, right? But ultimately, big numbers, double-digit spreads in the National Football League are something that I get uncomfortable with pretty quickly. And yet, at the same time, when you look at the numbers here, I mean, Josh Allen, 13-2 all-time against the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, 1-8 all-time against Josh Allen. Now, that's straight up, but Can the Dolphins cover? If I'm leaning one way or the other, it would probably be Buffalo. I think it will help that Buffalo is going to have some of their big names out. Ed Oliver isn't going to play. And so Milano's not going to play either. And the Bills' defense isn't necessarily fast. Like, it's very, you know, they can be assignment sound, but they're not necessarily a fast defense. So I think there is the possibility that the Dolphins and their speed merchants, you know, Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane, like those guys could maybe give Buffalo some trouble. But I don't trust the Dolphins enough to grab the number. I would probably look at a prop or something else.
Yeah, I do think, like, if there is an angle, like, maybe this Dolphins offense can score some points against this Bills defense, because like you said, they are missing some pieces here and they haven't been the most solid defense. It's just been a matter of, hey, Josh Allen's going to score like 40 points, so it doesn't really matter. But I don't think that the Dolphins offense can keep up with the Bills offense. So like, that's the thing for me. Like, maybe you take a look at the over, but for me, I do think that we're going to get a heavy target share for some of those speed guys tonight.
Yeah.
So I think you look at the world of props and you say, okay, look at the numbers for Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane, because I always think this is a solid starting off point for a team in what could be a blowout matchup, where you say, okay, who's going to be on the quote-unquote losing side? And so they're going to be playing catch-up and they're going to get a lot of reps. Like, even in garbage time, like, this is when props, you know, can be turned into winners. So I think Devon Achane is a good look tonight. I looked at his rushing and receiving, though. It's 96.5, which is pretty high, but he's gone over this number. Last game had a monster game when it came to both rushing and receiving. Had 30 yards rushing, 92 receiving. And so I think if you're picking one of those, I think I'm going to go with receiving here. He had 10 targets last time around against the Patriots, 92 yards. And so his number today is 37.5 for minus 140. I feel like that is a very gettable number. And especially on these short weeks, the short and dumpy passes to running backs, especially when you're a quarterback, like, the narrative on Tua is that, like, he's not very good past his first read. So, like, it feels like a perfect situation to play a running back receiving prop. And especially when Devon Achane is probably the best player on this team, I feel like it makes a lot of sense as a receiving prop.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to be on Tyreek Hill's. I don't know if I want to go over his reception number or his receiving prop yardage. I can't decide. But I think, ultimately, this is going to be a game. It's almost like a prove-it game for Tyreek Hill, because he wants to get out of Miami, right? Like, I think he's essentially auditioning for the Chiefs, because the Chiefs need the help. We keep hearing the rumblings that the Chiefs are looking at him, and also he doesn't want to be there. So I think that Tyreek Hill will do his best to, you know, put on a show tonight. And again, you're talking about a guy who has a ton of speed against the Bills defense that isn't necessarily the fastest defense in the NFL. I think we're going to see a high-scoring game. And also, when I see that Buffalo is such a large favorite, like, can't you see Buffalo jumping out to a big lead in this game and the Dolphins have to pass their way back into it, which means more targets, which means more yardage for Achane or Tyreek Hill? So I think both of those guys are good plays.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at receptions versus receiving yards for Tyreek Hill, because I went down this road for a second as well. So 5.5 is the number for receptions. You see over at minus 118. Receiving yards is set at 64.5. So personally, I like to go with yards sometimes because it feels like they can clear them if they have one big play. So for really electric receivers, if they are, you know, prone to having that longest reception, like last week, Tyreek Hill had a 47-yard catch and had 109 yards receiving. So as far as the catches go, he's been at 4 and 6. So this number is like right in between that almost.
Yeah.
So I kind of like taking the play that has, like, I don't know, more potential for it to hit in the first half. Because, Jenks, isn't that the best feeling when a prop hits in the first half of a game? So I think he has the high-end potential here. And plus, again, this Bills defense isn't the toughest of matchups. Like, maybe it's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, the Bills defense is bad. But, like, also, they did play the Ravens in one of those games. So, like, the Ravens are a very difficult offense to stop. And, like, the Dolphins are nowhere that level. And I will say this, sabotage factor is that Tua could absolutely turn into a pumpkin. And we saw this in the first game of the season. He only had 114, like, passing yards. So I think that can be tricky when you trust receivers that have untrustworthy quarterbacks. But I do think Devon Achane and Tyreek Hill are, like, the top two guys I'm looking at in this one.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think either one you can go with. And I agree with you when you talk about going yardage, receiving yardage versus catches, just because, especially when we talk about a speed guy, you could have three catches and hit the number, right? Especially tonight. I think we see a lot of Tyreek Hill in the flat, just trying to get him open in space and let him go. So you could have five catches and not hit the receptions prop, but then he takes those to the house or takes those for long gains and you hit the yardage prop. So I'm going to be on that.
Yeah, and I know we're running out of time, but as far as the Bill side, if you're expecting a blowout, obviously you look at the running back for the team you expect to be winning. So James Cook fits that bill. Also, the Dolphins are giving up the most fantasy points to opposing running backs through 2 weeks. So James Cook should be a good look tonight as well. Coming up next, time to switch gears to baseball. Our favorite daily plays come your way next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back on a Thursday. It is September 18th. Man, September is rolling right along, Jax.
Yeah.
Before you know it, it will finally be fall. And listen, I have been waiting patiently for fall, but it's still 90 damn degrees here. Are you guys getting the same weather in D.C.? It's not very cozy. I can't have hot coffee and, you know, sit in my cardigan and look by the window at the leaves falling. It's still summer here.
No, here it's kind of been misty and gray over the past couple days, a little rainy. Yeah, it hasn't been sunshiny at all. It was for a while, but yeah, it's been dreary this week.
Ah, I wish that we had that. We haven't had rain and it feels like forever. Like, all of our grass is dying. We need rain. And, like, I think I'm just ready for something different. And I do like the change of the seasons. Like, I think when I lived in Florida, like, that's the one thing that I miss. Because, like, everybody's like, oh, Florida's so great. Great weather year-round. No, it feels like you're living in Groundhog Day. So, like, I think I'm just ready for the next season. Like, it's not that I don't love summer. It's just, like, I'm ready for something new.
I get that. I mean, I'm definitely a fall-winter person. Oh, even though I've come around to the summer quite a bit. But I am ready for something different. But the whole rainy, wet, I mean, this just makes me want to eat a breakfast burrito and crawl in bed for a few hours because there's just like nothing going on. And I can't because I got to go to a couple of doctor's appointments. But being out in the rain and the dreariness of it all isn't necessarily something I'm a fan of.
Ah, but that sounds like something good to like curl up and watch like a scary movie or like a movie about like witches. So like I don't do scary movies, but I can do like scary adjacent movies.
Okay.
You know, like if it's about witches or something and it's like PG-13, like that's as far as I can go. But it also feels like the dog days of summer for baseball right now.
Yeah.
Because I remember this back when Jake played. Is that like I would be waiting for him to get done with the season. I'm like, oh my God, it's September. Will this season ever end? And I understand people feel that way about the regular season right now, but things are wrapping up and we do have teams who are clinching bursts to the playoffs. We had the Cubs clinch last night and I was watching the Tigers Guardians game last night, Jenks.
Okay.
What's up with the Tigers. The Tigers are 4-6 over their last 10 games. And I'm not going to sound the panic alarm yet because the Tigers are still like well in command of the AL Central and one of the best, probably the best record, I think, in the American League. Yeah. Oh, no, the Blue Jays have the best record in the American League. But this is not how you want to go into the postseason. Like, this scares me for teams that like are trending in the wrong direction in September because it's great to have a great regular season, But momentum matters a lot in baseball. So, like, I have questions about the Tigers. Like, they'll have, obviously, a very good leg up on the competition when you have Tarik Skubal, you know, starting your postseason. But I don't know. I feel like Tigers fans are starting to get, like, a little nervous.
Yeah, I would, too. And, you know, I want to bet this game because of Tarik Skubal. But then you have to wonder if, A, it's going to be cost prohibitive, right? Even though you can shop around and maybe find a way to bet on him. But also, are the Tigers' bats going to give him the support he needs, especially after getting shut out last night, especially when they're not playing well? Like, if you're going to support him in this spot, and he might just shut down the Guardians, so you might not have to worry about it. But at the same time, I worry about him getting the few runs that he'll need in the first five, because I like him in the first five. If I'm going to pay $1.60 on the Tigers' first five run line, which is a half run, I'm a little worried about paying that price and getting the Tigers to score.
I will say for this particular game, because, like, I was more talking about, like, in a macro view, but, like, today's game, Tarik Skubal is pitching for the Tigers. I do think, like, I'm looking at the pitcher props right now, I think it feels like one of those games where Tarik Skubal tries to put his team on his back.
Right.
And, you know, we know he's a very competitive guy, and he's going to be, like, trying to go deep in this game. And last night's game was, like, a low-scoring affair. It's just the Tigers' bats couldn't get anything going. So I think more than anything, like, maybe you trust Tarik Skubal. Maybe you play an under in this game. Because, like, the Tigers' bats have, you know, not just last night, but over the course of the last month have kind of cooled down. So here are the props. Outs recorded 17.5, but it's -203 for him to get to six innings.
Jeez.
This is the tough part of props, Jenks, is that sometimes these numbers are just not even bettable.
Yeah.
3.5 is the number for hits. God, that one's tough, too, because even if he's really good, if he goes long in this game, like, he's just going to allow some hits, usually, and that's just kind of how it goes. 1.5 is the number for earned runs allowed, but the under is -188. So, like, all this is kind of built into the number.
Yeah.
Maybe what you could bank on is that Tarik Skubal records a win, but that's -158. So, Jinx, how do I take this hypothesis and turn it into a bet, or do I just throw up my hands and say, okay, there's nothing there?
The only thing I found, like I said, was first five run line. But and that's compared to the numbers you were throwing out, the other bets, this is -160. That's actually cheaper than the ones that you were throwing out. So whenever he's on the mound, it's kind of like when Paul Skeens is on the mound. You have to really do some digging to find a number that is bettable, unless you want to lay monster juice, because everyone knows guys like this are the most dependable. They're big names. That adds to it as well. Like, sometimes you can find better value on someone who's having a really good season. Like, Tyler Wells is a good example, right? Having an awesome season, but isn't the name of a Skeens or a Skubal, so you can find value there. But for these guys, it's exceptionally tough.
Yeah. Maybe what you do is you go over to BetMGM and use your same game parlay token.
Yeah.
That you can boost the odds on this. Because I will say, like, this is a good way. If you find a bet that's, like, a little too juicy, use the boost and you can make it a bettable number. So BetMGM, of course, has an MLB parlay boost token waiting for you. You use it to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. All right, some news for other contenders in the National League. The Brewers now put Jose Quintana on the injured list. He's going to be on a 15-day IL with a left calf strain. And, of course, we were just talking about this. You want to be going into the postseason with some momentum. This is not ideal. Jose Quintana, 11-7 on the season with a 3.96 ERA. Obviously, you always want your depth pieces, but I will say this. Jose Quintana is not their ace of the rotation. And they have other guys who are going to anchor the rotation. Like, Brandon Woodruff is normally very good, a postseason veteran as well. So, like, I don't think the Brewers are, like, done for. If this was Gerrit Cole, this would be a bigger deal, because when you lose your ace, that is somebody who can start multiple games in a series. Like, we'll see the ace start game one and maybe throw him in, like, game five or something. Or even game four. So, like, this is a big loss for the Brewers, but it's not damning for Milwaukee.
No, they're going to be just fine. And this is not a long-term injury, right? So this is a deep rotation. This is a deep team. This is a high-scoring team. This is a complete baseball team. So the fact that he's going to be out for a couple weeks, it wouldn't affect me at all. It may be less chance to bet on the Brewers day-to-day. But long-term, as long as he's not going to be out for the season, I mean, ultimately, you want to be as deep as you can if you're the Brewers going into the postseason. I think that's pretty obvious. But here, I don't think it's a big factor. It's just one of those things where you want to get him right and get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah. And I was going to say this as well. Like, you have to be careful this time of year with betting some of these big favorites who don't have too much to play for. Because a lot of these teams have already clinched the playoffs and already clinched the division. Let's see. Milwaukee has not officially clinched the division, I believe. Let's take a double check there. I think they still have something to play for. And also, like, some of these teams are trying to be the best team in their respective conference, division, you know, the National League or the American League. So the Brewers have clinched the playoffs, have not clinched the division just yet. A 5-game lead over the Cubs. So they're still playing for something. So they are big favorites today. Quinn Priester, who we have backed a lot on this show, feels like the great value version of a lot of the starters in the Brewers rotation. 13-2 this year, 3.25 ERA. Milwaukee -190, though. Kikuchi goes for the Angels, 6-11, 4.08 ERA. Total of 8 runs. So, Jenks, okay, I guess I should throw out, like, do you like the Angels here? I don't think that's the answer here. but do you like the Brewers in some capacity, either on the run line, first 5-run line? Is there a play in this game?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Brewers. I'm going to take Brewers -1. These -1 plays, I love. I have pushed on these. You're laying a little juice, but I think they're interesting. For the general public, I would say play the Brewers on the run line here. Play the Brewers on the run line. Get yourself some plus money. Brewers -1 is -137. It's palatable, but this is a good chance because the Angels and Kikuchi in particular is awful on the road and has been all season. He's coming off a really good performance against the Mariners last time out. Like, he was very good, but that really belies what we've seen from him during the regular season on the road. He's 1-8 with an ERA over 5. The Angels have lost 6 straight. They're playing bad, bad baseball right now. And this is amazing. The Brewers, when Priester is on the mound, had to triple check this, have won 18 straight games. Like, they just don't lose whenever he's towing the rubber. So, yeah, I'm laying the 1 with the Brewers tonight.
Yeah, and I think you can make a very strong case for the run line as well, because I feel like we had almost a similar handicap yesterday where the opposing pitcher for the Angels had decent numbers. Jose Soriano came to this game with good numbers, but only went 1 1/3. I'm not sure what was going on there. Maybe got hurt. But still, the Brewers posted a 9 spot in last night's game, won that game handily 9-2. And again, like, I feel like a broken record, but this bears repeating. The Brewers have the best run differential in baseball by, like, 50 runs. Their run differential sitting at, like, 170.
It's crazy.
Like, it's wild how good the Brewers have been on both sides of the ball. And so when you play a run line bet, you want a team that can win by a wide margin. And that's what we see from the Brewers on a daily basis. So Brewers on the run line, whatever price you can get that. If you play -1, that's fine as well. But on the run line, I think that is a very solid play. All right, Jenks, do you dare bet on the Yankees today?
I don't really like the card today. Like, yesterday I liked it and whatever. That was a little bit underwater, but kind of an even day. Thank God I got that push. Those -1s, by the way, have given me 2 pushes in the last 2 days. So, you know, I know they're a little odd. Most people would rather go run line, get some plus money, and I don't fault anyone for doing that because plus money is plus money. But maybe I look at the Yankees -1. Max Fried taking on Cade Povich. Maybe I'll add that. God, every time I say I'm going to go small, I just don't. Fried versus Povich. This has to be the Yankees, right? Come on. You just say that. You got to throw some money on the Yankees here. What are we doing? Yes.
I feel like the Yankees bullpen, like, on paper, they should be good. And it's just like, I watch these games and, like, maybe it's like the games that I watch, they can never shut the door. But I don't know, for the price, I feel like there are teams that I would trust a little bit more, you know, at that price. So freewheeling here. Is there any other game that you think we should mention? Like, I hate pigeonholing you into the games. So if there's a game that you like that you want to talk about, here's your chance.
I don't know. This card, I don't like it nearly as much as I did yesterday. But I will say I'm looking at maybe an over or Blue Jays-Rays today. So this is an early game. Blue Jays are -130, and the total is set at 8. You've got Chris Bassitt going up against Shane Boz. And Boz has been brutal at home this season. 6-5, an ERA of 6.28. Chris Bassitt is not nearly as good away from Toronto, but still, he's been really good recently, right? So he's given up 3 runs in his last 3 appearances. Total of 16 innings. Probably go 5 in this game, But ultimately, when you take those Blue Jays bats against a guy who's been awful at home, I think it's a pretty good price on Toronto at minus 130. Or I'd take a look at the over 8. Be a lean.
Yeah. And then I wanted to mention, like, there's another angle on the board here today for a team that was celebrating last night that may be a little hungover for today's game. So as I mentioned, the Cubs did clinch a spot in the playoffs yesterday. They did celebrate. I heard some interesting quotes from, who was it? It was one of their pitchers who we used to back all the time. His name will come to me in a minute, but he said something to the effect of, instead of drinking champagne, you need it poured on your skin and you absorb it that way. And that's how you get drunk. You're like, wow, that's big brain thinking. But keep in mind, the Cubs were celebrating last night, and I think that's why the Reds are favored today. They're minus 125 despite Colin Ray pitching for the Cubs. 10-6, 4.23 ERA. Been pretty solid. But Hunter Green goes for Cincinnati, 6-4 with a 3.01 ERA. Let me ask you this, Jenks. Are you back on fading the Rockies again today? Tanner Gordon doesn't have good numbers, but neither does Sandy Alcantara. Miami's minus 175.
Alcantara has been a lot better recently, but at the same time, I can't get over what we saw early in the year. He's gotten better. I mean, this guy certainly has Cy Young stuff. We've seen that. And he's gotten, more comfortable after coming off Tommy John surgery. But ultimately, when you're talking about, I need to see a little bit more from him, and then the regular season's running out, so I know it's sort of too late, but I just don't think I trust him based on what we've seen all season to sort of back him here. He's a guy who could give up 7 runs in 5 innings and also pitch 6 shutout innings. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get. So while I love the price yesterday, because fading the Rockies at minus 160 is actually good value, and that came home, at minus 175, now I'm kind of getting nervous about that. So probably going to be a stay away for me.
Yeah, I think if you have pitchers like that who are really volatile, like over the past few years, I've had pitchers like Andrew Heaney has kind of fit this bill. Lucas Giolito, not this season, but previous seasons, Lance Lynn, where like sometimes they'll have like 10 strikeouts, but give up 6 runs, and 5 of those are home runs. So it's just like they're all over the place. So like those aren't guys I want to bet on. I want to bet on trustworthy guys to either be really good or really bad. We just need a dependable result. All right, coming up next, it's time to play Survivor in the NFL. Who's winning outright this week in the league? It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Off and rolling on a Thursday, which means it's time for our weekly Survivor picks in the NFL. And it sounds so simple, right? All you have to do is pick an outright winner. But the NFL, we know, usually has other plans. And we'll see an upset, it feels like, every week. But Jenks, the hot gossip here in Nashville before we get to our Survivor picks. And we love our local celebrities, like people who are celebrities, but also like live here. And so here's the story that everybody's talking about. And here are the main characters. Diego Pavia, quarterback for Vanderbilt. Theo Vaughn. Diego Pavia's mom. And Tate McRae. Have you heard the story?
I have not, and I would love to hear it. Please tell me more.
Okay, so we know that Diego Pavia is never short on confidence. So, like, keep that in mind as you hear the details of the story. So, Theo Vaughn, who is a comedian, also lives in Nashville, goes to Vandy games, told Diego Pavia that if they beat South Carolina, he would go on a date with Diego Pavia's mom, which I don't know if, like, Diego Pavia wants his mom going on a date with Theo Vaughn, but, like, this was the bargain that was struck. And so, like, there's this big upset where Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt down South Carolina. So, like, the deal is on. So they ask him about this at the game. After the game, I think it was Cole Kublik, who was a sideline reporter. And Theo Vaughn, like, doubled down. He's like, yeah, she's a nurse. Like, I want to date a nurse. Even though he said something to the effect of, like, all right, so I wouldn't be Diego Pavia's stepdad. We would just be friends. And, like, imagine him saying that in that voice. I'm sure it was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's another addition to this that we didn't hear about on the broadcast, because Theo posted this screenshot of, you know, the conversation that he had with Diego Pavia. And so apparently the deal was Theo Vaughn gets to date Diego Pavia's mom.
Okay.
If Theo Vaughn can get Tate McRae to go on a date with Diego Pavia. So he screenshotted the DM that he sent to Tate McRae. It says this.
Okay.
Hey, Tate. My friend said I can take his mom on a date, but only if he's able to take you on a date. Here is a pic of him. It's like a picture of Diego Pavia at a press conference. But wait. He slid this in there at the very end. If you don't want to go on a date with him, I can also take you on a date.
There we go.
Very smooth.
So smooth. Like, hey, take a look at this guy. Now, take a look at me. All right? Saving the best for last
while
year.
You're here.
You know, if you like him, fine. But if you don't, what about me? Very, very tricky. Well done, Theo Vaughn. Yeah. That's the part that keeps getting left out when I look at these headlines. Like, the Tate McRae part is the part that people are leaving off here.
Yeah, and the fact that Theo Vaughn is not being a very good friend. It's like, hey, but if you don't want to date him, I'm definitely available. Like, that's not right. A very good wingman move.
I totally agree. Like, come on, man. Like, I got you, man. I got you. Hey, look, I know this guy. He's okay. Are you looking to date right now? It's like, you're not really being a wingman there. It's like, I'm with you until you break off at the last second.
I was just saying this. I feel like really attractive women make men lose their minds, though. Like, they'll say dumbest things. And, like, I will say this. Tate McRae, very hot.
Yes.
So.
Not unattractive. She's a very beautiful woman. So, I get that. But, yes, guys will lose their minds over, you know, someone who is attractive and young and famous and all those things that come with it.
And dances like that.
And dances like that. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't
hurt. Looked at her VMA dance for research for the show.
I didn't realize that was a thing, but guess I've got some stuff to do this afternoon now. So thanks for the heads up on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Quiet time for Jinx. All right. At the computer. All right. So let's get to our survivor picks for this week in the NFL.
There can be only one.
Who will survive?
All right, there you have it. The rules are simple. You pick an outright winner this week in the NFL. The spread doesn't matter. You just got to pick a winner. All right, Jenk, so who is that winner for you?
Am I doing the Bills tonight? I'm working on one more play.
Are you?
I think I am. I'm going with the Bills tonight. I mean, this should be an easy dub, I feel like. Right? They're taking on the Dolphins. The point spread is 11 and a hook. Now it went to 12 and a hook. So, yeah, this is a pretty easy choice for me. I had the Broncos week one. That was a winner. Cowboys last week. I was sweating that one, but came home. But let's go Buffalo tonight.
I saw a stat somewhere that backs this up. And apparently, like, favorites have been feasting this year. So favorites of 4.5 points or more this year are 12-0 straight up.
Oh,
so
wow.
That goes into your handicap there.
Nice.
If you do think the Bills cruise. And for me, I'm going to continue fading what I think is the worst team in football. So we're going to fade the Saints here. Going to go with the Seahawks at home. Like, this feels like a very good situational spot. Obviously, for the Seahawks, have one of the best home field advantages in football. They are 7.5 point home favorites against the Saints, who are 0-2. And, like, some of these stat lines on the Saints, like, bless Spencer Rattler's heart. Like, the first game of the season, he went 27-46 for, like, 205 yards. Like, you threw the ball 46 or 47 times, and that was your output. Not great, Bob. Not great. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks. All right, next up, looks like it's more of the same for Double D. David, looks like you're not going with a risky pick this week.
No, I'm going with a revenge pick. Saints let me down. Saints
revenge.
Let me down last week. Revenge! Best served cold a week later. like a good leftover pizza. Delicious. Yes, I'm taking the Seahawks to beat the Saints. You let me down, Saints. I hope Spencer Rattler gets sacked 100 million times.
Ah, so it's clearly not personal for David. All right, Dylan. I know you can't pick Tate McRae here, but if you could, you would. But what's the NFL team?
Yeah, I'm going with the Packers this week. This is more just a fade of, like you say with the Saints, that you think they're the worst team. I think the Browns are the worst team, and Green Bay is also one of the best teams. I think this is just a hammer spot on Green Bay, just getting them on the money line for Survivor. I'll take that all day.
Love it.
I definitely thought about this one. This was another good option as well, but in general, I don't love picking road teams. Like, so that was the only, you know, knock against that one. But I do not expect the Cleveland Browns to win. It's 8-point underdogs. The Packers look amazing. Like, eventually they'll probably have a dud of a game, but it doesn't feel like this one against the Browns. All right, Denton, who you got this weekend, Survivor?
I am going to play the role of schoolyard bully. For the second week in a row, I am just going to follow around the New York Giants and torment them. So I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs, who are on the road Sunday Night Football. 6.5-point favorites over the Giants. We said a lot of very not nice things about the Chiefs this week, which have all been deserved because they're 0-2. And I think they are going to take it out on the Giants. It's going to be a walloping, and it'll be the best game that Mahomes has played this year. So I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, like that.
Ah, I feel like we need a sounder of, like, who's the bully in Billy Madison? Is it O'Doyle rules? Like, that kid that's the bully? I think it's O'Doyle. It's, like, the family of redheads.
Oh, yeah.
David, you look like you know.
It is O'Doyle rules!
That's it. Somebody got the reference. There you go. My only question for the Chiefs is that I feel like no matter what their competition is, they play down to the level of their competition. Like, we saw this last year. They played in so many close games. So do you really want to play a team in Survivor that you feel like you might have to sweat in the fourth quarter?
If it's sweating Patrick Mahomes, I feel good about that sweat.
Yeah.
True. And I guess
it is the Giants.
You're sweating like, right, and it's like Roger Goodell's favorite child. So it's like, I think there's going to be a call. Oh, that's roughing. Did you just look at Patrick Mahomes? That's roughing the passer. That's going to be 15 yards. Because do you think that goes into the handicap for people this week? Is the fact that, like, I don't think the league wants the Chiefs to go 0-3, right?
Does for me. Come on, Raj.
Let's go, Raj.
Let me see the refs make a show of this thing. Let's go.
We're all here to see the referee show, right? So, like, more seriously, I don't think that they will need the referees. But, like, flip side, the Giants' offense at least looked good. Like, Malik Nabers down there somewhere, even though I think he might have gotten hurt during that. I'm not sure. But still, I am just trying to, like, find sabotage factors because I think that is an important exercise when you're talking about Survivor. Because, like, we have seen crazier things happen in the NFL. So I think it's one of those things where you want to feel good and confident. And also, if you are playing by the rules of the actual contest, you can't use the same team, like, any other week in the NFL. And I have not been using that strategy. Has anybody here, like, looked down the schedule? Has anybody been doing that? David did that last year, I think.
Yeah, I did it last year. I'm trying to adhere to those again this year, but I don't look down the schedule. I just look at matchups, and like I said, if the Saints were ever going to win a game this year, they've got one coming up against Chicago, but with a depleted San Francisco last week, I thought they had a chance, and they did have a chance last week. I mean, the game was closer than anybody thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but you don't get points for keeping it close in Survivor, unfortunately.
I think sometimes
people try to get too cute, though. Like, when it comes to Survivor, and people are like, oh, this is the week, if there's ever a week. It's like, yeah, but then, like, what if you lose? And then, like, you'll think about, like, your great matchup that you already had penciled in for, like, week 12. Like, that's the thing. I think some people think too far down the line, and it ends up getting them eliminated.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because if you don't get there in the first place, you know what I mean? Like, it's a tough balance. Like, I can look down the line, but if I do that too much and I take risks too early, or maybe it's a calculated risk, but if it's too much of a risk, you're not going to get there in the first place. So I would rather err on the side of caution and make sure I get there You know, all things being equal, what happens in week 12 doesn't matter if you're eliminated in week 5.
Yeah, this is like me cooking for my family on Thanksgiving. Now is not the time to try new recipes. We are right. keeping it simple, and we are doing the things that I have cooked before. We're not getting cute with things. So, like, that's how I feel like with Survivor, is that, like, we're not getting cute. Chelsea's not risking it for the biscuit. And that has usually turned out in my favor. But we'll see if we stick to the rules of, like, not using the same team ever again in a season. But we'll see if we last that long.
Yeah.
Because I feel like last year, more than this year, there was way more upsets. Like, I gave you that stat about, like, favorites of 4.5 more points. 12-0 this year. Eventually, the dogs will be barking. And eventually, we will have chaos in Survivor. But hopefully, this is not that week. All right, coming up next, hour 3 of the show, we'll start off with the biggest headlines, including all of our plays for Thursday Night Football. It's next on The Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.